south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, then, let's start today with a little email complaint. First of all, let's set this up. You know, PRN, the big home station, was hacked big time a couple weeks ago. In fact, we know now it was no error accident, it was a malicious attack, because they not only got through a couple of firewalls, they wiped or ruined two backup drives too. Again, these problems were not caused by flaws or bugs either. Oh, and by the way, do you know why they call electronic problems bugs? Some people, you know, say it goes back to the horse and buggy days, you know, driving someone buggy, bouncing around and rattling your brain and all that. Well, in the engineering and electronic business way back when, during World War II and before, those vacuum tubes in the backs of hi-fis and radios and TVs got very, very hot. Very cozy places for animals and bugs to live. Yes, those tube units, and everything was tubes back then, before transistors, they got very hot inside, but when they cooled down, when you turn the unit off, they'd still retain some of their warmth, and sometimes, more often than not, bugs would wander in and make a home for themselves. Then, when you fired the thing up again, they'd fry. And as they were sizzling, you'd smell it. Believe me, every time I opened up one of those old tube guitar amps like a Fender, there were always plenty of dead bug chassis in the chassis. So anyway, it's not the bug itself that does the damage. It's when they fry and liquefy and their guts cross terminals and make bad connections and momentarily short out things. Not to mention, they were vacuum tube killers. If a moth, for example, fried out on one of those glass vacuum tubes, that would cause a hot spot and eventually fry the tube. And that's when spare parts would really cost you, because the tubes were the most expensive part. So when a tech would open up one of the chassis, he'd say, oh, bad news, lots of bugs. But I digress. Boy, did I digress. Anyway, along with the malicious hacking problem at the main PRN station, our specific website, expatwisdom.com, was having problems too, with so many extraneous downloads coming from iffy addresses, like Chinese, Russian, even alphabet agencies, we think. So we had that, as well as some mass spammings. Like I said before, I get sometimes 500 spams a day. And these days, it takes a lot more time to weed those guys out, because they're getting really clever, those spammers. Sometimes they actually use keywords and phrases that I talk about in my show, and they put it in the subject line. So it looks real enough, and I think it's coming from a real listener, and instead, it's coming from some Russian dating service. I'm not kidding you. I must have got about 300 Russian dating service spams in the last 2 weeks, with very cleverly written subject lines. Suffice it to say, I don't think there are all too many young female Russian ladies with doctorates. Yep, isn't that something? They're all doctors and engineers, don't you know? They say they are anyway. And they're all tall, blonde, and good-looking. They send photos. And they come in two flavors, Svetlana and Olga. And naturally, they're all terribly attracted to gringos and want to marry yours truly. Yeah, like I said, I don't think there's too many PhD Russian female microbiologists drinking vodka in the kitchen or picking potatoes on the outskirts of Moscow listening to the Expat Files. I kind of doubt it. Just like I kind of doubt these photos weren't heavily photoshopped. So anyway, to eliminate a lot of those weird downloads and spam garbage and all that, we at the expatwisdom.com site have been trying to figure out a way to get you guys all these shows for free and still not continuously get spammed, hacked, and downloaded to death. So, at least temporarily, for the time being anyway, we've initiated a password to get in and download shows. Now, I know a lot of you have been having trouble with that. And I assure you, we've come up with a much better solution that should be instituted maybe even by now. Meaning you'll have to register, then you'll get a password that works for all downloads of all shows. Anyway, it looks like that password thing has ruffled some feathers in the listening audience, and I have an email on that subject to read you right now, so here goes. This one comes from a listener named Billy G. Baker. And this one definitely caught my eye, because in the subject box it says, password my ass. So, Mr. Baker starts out angrily and says, That password, it's everything you are against. Sign up, give your info. What are you doing, selling it all to third parties? What if an alphabet agency hacks your expat wisdom site, Johnny? And then all those on your list, all of us guys that sign up and give over our info, get put on their list and tagged as extremists. Then we too get slated for harassment. That's what they do, right? I've done enough stupid things myself to put a few targets on my forehead over the years. So that said, as long as your show is available without any sign-up, I'll be a loyal listener via PRN and Podbean. Just playing the devil's advocate here, Johnny. Signed, Billy Baker. Rocking the boat whenever I can. Okay then, Billy's got a couple of good points there. Now come to think of it, I'm looking at his email right now, and you know what the initials of his name are? BB. Billy Baker. BB. Well, maybe we'll just have to beware of Mr. Baker. Now, that said, apparently he hasn't listened to all 441 of my shows. I mean, really, who has? Or he would have certainly remembered, way back when, in a show or two that I did, how expats, wannabes, and goonabes should be handling the internet and their email accounts. So now that he brought up those testy points, let me go over a few things for you, and maybe this will jog your memory, Billy. Now, listen carefully. Here's something you're not going to like at first, but you're probably going to love it later. Because, well, nobody likes change, right? Unless it's money. Now, one of the ways to remain a very happy and content expat is to always try to maintain a low profile, as well as maintaining a very small footprint on the web. Now, I know most people out there use your standard web services like Gmail and Yahoo, etc. In fact, I have an email account with Gmail, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. However, if I actually lived in the U.S., I'd never have a Gmail or Yahoo or free email account. The main purpose is to just collect data on you and bombard you with ads and try to sell you crap. You really must beware of all that, as Mr. Baker so aptly points out. Now, my advice to everyone out there, I don't care if you're an expat or not, do go ahead and set up your Google and your Yahoo and your free email accounts, but never, never connect them with your real name, your real phone number, or your real address. And if at all possible, and I highly recommend this, sign up at one of those IP changer sites or get an IP tunnel so that when you sign up for any of these data collecting spy email accounts like Google and Yahoo, that way your Gmail or Yahoo account, whatever, aren't even connected to your real IP address. And from then on, always log in using that IP tunnel or IP changer. So what does all that do? Well, they got nothing to collect but crap and disinformation on you. So then you should be glad to give out that email address every time some legitimate website asks you for that address before they'll send you, let's say, a report. Because, you know, that's more and more common these days. You see a nice report or PDF document available on the internet, and in order to get it, you have to give an email address. That's also true when you sign up for newsletters, etc. Then they send you a code or a link and you're off to the races. So that said, I'm 100% in favor of giving out disinformation when signing up for your typical free email sites. Go ahead and stick it to them. Screw them. They're doing it to you. So yes, I would say if you don't do that and you put all your real data down for one of these Gmail accounts, for example, I would say beware, Mr. Baker. Bad things will be coming your way. At least I predict you'll be quite irritated with that slew of spam and all those love letters from Olga and Svetlana. Or not. However, if you'd been following my advice that I mentioned so long ago, I think it was around show 100 or something like that, why not just smile and gladly give out that email address when it's necessary to receive some kind of report or service, knowing that in your own small way, you're contributing a bit of chaos to the data collectors on the web. What's not to like about that? And to carry that web security thing a bit farther, I hope you all know I never use Google search. I always use startpage.com because it's a Google search, but it strips off your IP address so you get no pop-up windows, no ads, no banners, no nothing. And thus there's no connection like when you do a Google search between Google and your regular email service, like Google Chrome or whatever. And of course, that means there's no sharing of information between your search engine or any of the websites that you're visiting. Miracle of miracles, huh? That said, I suggest you go right away to startpage.com. That's www.startpage.com and make it your homepage. So as soon as you start up your computer, you don't get that Google Chrome browser, but you get Startpage. What's not to like about that? Thus, totally eliminating all of Google's intrusive data collection while still allowing you to completely take advantage of Google's search engine. And by the way, don't think I'm making a cent off of this. I'm not. It's free. Check it out. So again, if you want to browse the web with complete privacy and anonymity, just do it through Startpage. And by the way, their servers, I believe, are in the Netherlands, so they're out of the reach of any U.S. authorities or pressures. That said, Mr. Baker, by all means, sign up for Google, Yahoo, etc., but give them tons of disinformation. And here's another bit of advice. When using those email services, don't say anything too personal or give away a lot of specific details about you or your friends' lives. I'm talking about when using those free email services now. In other words, just give Google and Yahoo the light, inconsequential stuff. So yes, go ahead and use Gmail to send funny jokes and stories to people, to talk about the golf game or Monday Night Football. It's the perfect place to disseminate Grandma's fudge recipe and Aunt Emma's miracle holistic cure for bad breath and noxious farts. But don't ever discuss finances or where you actually live, banking, credit card stuff, phone numbers, passport and driver's license numbers. And if you do, expect the worst. Expect Citibank, Sprint, and every other kind of cold caller to ring you up and plant text messages and spam the hell out of you. That said, could I be describing your life right now? No, not you, Mr. Baker. I mean that as a general statement. However, if that's your reality right now, unfortunately, you're stuck with it. And it's only going to get worse, unless you dump that email service and get another one. But remember, when you do sign up for a new one, start using that disinformation. Fake names, fake addresses, fake phone numbers. Start right now making a practice of it. Make it a game even. It's fun, believe me. Then, if by chance you do get a cold call or any email addressed to your new pseudonym, for example, Mr. B.O. Skunk Breath. And note, the B.O. doesn't stand for Barack Obama, though it could. Anyway, you automatically know your sign-up information was bought by a third party, don't you? So then is that illegal? Spreading disinformation all over the web? Opening email accounts in the name of B.O. Skunk Breath, Hillary Snot Sphincter, or perhaps George P. Brain Bush? Oh, and by the way, my apologies to all you skunks, sphincters, and pea brains out there. Anyway, as far as being illegal, unless you're required by law to give out your information to a government agency, or perhaps a utility company or a bank, there's certainly nothing illegal about disinformation and laying down a false trail. Come to think of it, why is it legal for the government to do that, and yet we can't do it when dealing with the government? So, that said, don't break the law, but don't give your info out either. So then what do you do about your sensitive communications, your sensitive emails where you have to send out personal data like we all occasionally have to do? Well, then I suggest you sign up for an encrypted email service that might cost you a little money. But because you have to pay for it, they won't be collecting any of your data either. Like, for example, here's one of the best ones I've found so far, StartMail. That's startmail.com. So then what's so good about these encrypted email services? Well, for one thing, many of them, like StartMail, have one-click PGP encryption, as well as automatic PGP encryption if you're sending an email to someone else who's got StartMail too. Not to mention, if you send an email to someone who doesn't have StartMail, you can still encrypt it, and in that case, the receiver will only be able to unlock the encryption if they can answer a personal question that you've tagged along with the encrypted email. For example, if you're sending an email to a friend from college, you could say, "What was the name of the bar right off campus that gave away free chicken wings on Wednesday nights?" Or perhaps something like, "What guy did you vomit on at your bachelor party?" Oops, sorry about that. I take that back. Maybe that wasn't a proper question. You might not remember that night, or maybe there was more than one. Anyway, you get the idea. Talking about StartMail, I think the absolute best thing about it is that it allows you to create disposable email addresses. Say what? Disposable email addresses. That allows you tremendous anonymity and great flexibility when sending emails. It's also the perfect spam blocker, meaning for those times you don't want to share your email address. With StartMail and some of the others, you can create temporary email addresses on the fly instantly, and if you so select, you can even assign a self-destruct time and date so that you can receive reply emails for a while and all of a sudden that email address just doesn't exist anymore. It disappears. So, in effect, with a service like StartMail, and there are others, you really don't have a need for any of the other free email services like Google or Yahoo at all. That means you could use it for your serious, sensitive email stuff, as well as lighter things like disseminating Aunt Emma's life-saving elixir. And that also means if some other website requests an email address to set up a code or a password, you could create a temporary email address on the fly and eliminate it when necessary. Okay, let's change gears a bit. Here's a short email from Anna, who I don't think has been listening to too many of my shows. Or I'm sure she'd know the answers to this already. She says, "Dear Johnny, you know, I'm about to graduate from college with a degree in business marketing and Spanish. I heard about your show, The Expat Files, and was wondering if you had any advice about pursuing a business career in South America. Even if you could point me to the most relative blog post, that would be appreciated. I really have no idea where to begin my search. I would appreciate your help, Anna." Well, Anna, thanks for that email, and since you're just now graduating, and since you said you have no idea where to start, I would have thought you would have done at least some basic research. I mean, the internet itself is a wealth of information. And if you really are clueless, like it sounds, you are not off to a very good start in your career. That said, I will try to help. By the way, you're not the only one who's kind of in the same boat. Surprisingly enough, I had a phone consult about 3 weeks ago with a young woman from Boston who had a newly minted Spanish and, get this, psychology degree. Now that's daddy's money down a rat hole, isn't it? And I told her that when she gets down here, she'll get hired all right, and she won't have to settle for a waitress job at Starbucks either. She'll certainly land a job in human resources at a company down here, but she'll only make about $500 to $700 a month. And I believe with that $55,000 she has in school loans, she should be able to pay that off in about 260 years. Like my dear old mother always said, the fun you have in college is inversely proportional to the amount of money you're going to make when you get out. And she would know. She's a retired university college professor. Anyway, it's way too late to tell, what is it, 70 or 80% of college kids that they're going to have to find a place for those liberal arts books when they graduate and move back home with mom and dad. Oh, and by the way, speaking of phone consults, if you want to have a one-on-one with me, just go to expatwisdom.com and click on the consultation link. Anyway, about Anne's questions, I can tell you there are three routes to finding a job within your career in Latin America, South America specifically for you. Yes, what you have there is a workable combination, Spanish and marketing. So, step one, checking out the back pages of the Chicago Trib, the New York Times, the London Financial Times, and in the back pages of business magazines like Forbes, Business Week, The Economist, etc. That's where you'll always find transnational companies advertising for qualified people like yourself, especially people who speak Spanish. They're always looking for professionals to send to their foreign subsidiaries. For example, take a company like Bayer or Siemens, Kellogg's, even Mercedes-Benz. They're always advertising in those papers and journals I just mentioned. And the big advantage is they pay first world salaries and they'll give you relocation money too. However, they almost always want people with experience, which you have zero because you're just graduating. So go ahead and check out those ads, but I hold out little hope for your success on that, at least until you've had a year or two of experience in the field. Now, there's a second way to find a job down in South America or Latin America from the comfort of your home in Cleveland. You just go online and check out the classifieds and help wanted ads in the big Latin American newspapers in areas that you want to get a job. For example, if you want Medellin, Colombia, or Lima, Peru, just go online and check out any one of the three, four, even five daily newspapers. And note, for some reason, usually Monday is the big day for Help Wanted ads. And note, those ads will tell you precisely what they're looking for and how to submit your resume, so follow those directions precisely. And note, when they select you for an interview, you'll have to go down when they tell you and on your dime. These are local papers, they're not recruiting internationally. Which gives you the advantage, really, because they'd rather have first world talent, for sure. Now, because you're actually a Spanish major and your Spanish has to be pretty good, there is a very good chance they'll hire you because, like I said, you're first world talent. Even without experience, you have that gringo advantage, remember? However, do know if you get a job by this method, you're not going to get first world money. I've seen it. I know people who've done that. They come down here, they get a management or executive job, and they're still making about a quarter of what that same job would pay up in the States. For example, Price Waterhouse, you know, the big accounting firm, that's down here in almost all big Latin American cities, and they advertise all the time for executives. And they want business management people. Great, huh? However, what do they pay? About anywhere between $15,000 to $30,000 a year. Whereas the same job up in the States, surely $75,000 to $100,000. Nevertheless, you shouldn't be discouraged because down here in Latin America, as long as you don't live near Embassy Row or in a high-end business district where there are a lot of first-world hotels and convention centers, so first-world prices prevail, just locate yourself a bit outside of those areas. Then, I assure you, you will be living as if you're making 75 to 100 G's a year. Perhaps even double that because you will not be paying first world taxes. So maybe then you come down here and take a job like that for a year or two and you reapply in those first world magazines like Forbes and the Financial Times. Now you have the required experience and you possibly can get that first world salary on contract from the home office up in New York, Chicago, or Cleveland. However, personally and from experience, I don't much care for those first two approaches. Because, you know, some of the happiest executive-type expats I know are the ones that came down here without a job, put some boots on the ground, and started their own businesses. You know what they say, there's nothing like being your own boss. Because, you know, the trick is, you get boots on the ground down here, and all of a sudden you've got all these ideas popping through your head. And if you're a business major, you're bound to see a lot of opportunities from day one. And since business startup costs here in Latin America can be as little as 1/6 of what you'd pay for a similar business up in the States, if it's a small business, you do not need a big cash reserve to get started. However, if you're one of those typical U.S. grunts that went through college, got a business degree, and thought you were going to walk into a big firm and start your career there and work your way up, well, good luck trying that down here. Nearly all Latin companies promote their employees through nepotism, favoritism, what they call in Spanish, clientismo and cueo. Meaning, the boss's kids, family, relatives, and mistresses always get the management jobs and move up the ladder before the really qualified people ever get a chance. So anyway, Anna, I don't think that's going to happen unless you qualify as mistress material. Now, speaking of mistress material, and the unintended effects of macho society, I want to comment on an interview from Paulina Vega, who was crowned Miss Universe this year. She's from Colombia, and this interview just took place in Bogota. Now, when asked about Latin America, specifically Colombians obsessed with beauty pageants and plastic surgeries, she said in Bogota, Colombia, the capital, population about 15 million people, in 2014, the civil police registered 20,000 cases of sexual abuse in the city, and there's at least 5 times as many that haven't been reported. She also says about 1,000 women were assassinated in related sexual abuse crimes, almost always by the pissed off or jealous husband or boyfriend. When asked about the state of the macho society in Colombia, and why the majority of these sexual abuse cases and murders are never prosecuted, she knows there are men in Colombia that really believe in equality between women and men, but she just hasn't met one yet. And that wasn't supposed to be a joke either. She said, on the record, politicians and people in the news always talk about their belief in equality among the sexes. But the real attitude men from all classes believe is that a woman's place is in the home and in the bed. Oh, and by the way, here's a good statistic. She said, of those 1,000 women murdered last year in sexually related crimes, 24 of those women were killed by husbands or boyfriends who were members of the Colombian Armed Forces, police, or army, using their own registered gun to blow away a spouse or a girlfriend. Now, analysts say one of the roots of the machismo problem in Colombia, especially, are those thousands of beauty contests throughout the year. In fact, at those events, girls as young as 9 and 10 years old appear in bikini contests. In Latin America, there's no taboo against very young girls parading around in bikinis like that. In fact, their mothers and fathers are extremely proud that their little daughters have made it to the stage. Because, you see, they all want their kids to be crowned Miss Colombia or some such thing. And in this interview, the new Miss Colombia says, even being in any contest, not even winning, opens doors and gets you close to men who are in power that can help your career. And she said, who will pay for the necessary plastic surgery to move you to the next level. Now, of course, these sponsors, these men, don't do that out of the goodness of their heart. Eventually, there's payback and they'll want something in return. And that, she says, only tends to reinforce the macho stereotypes, which in turn perpetuates the inequality of the sexes. Then get this, she says, and haven't you heard this one before? She says, in Colombia, a man is judged by what he drives. And as for women, they're judged by their physical attributes. Unfortunately, she said, no matter what professional career a woman might have, or how high her educational achievements, in whatever level of society, a woman will never be equal to a man. It's a fact, she says, that's been institutionalized in our society. And yes, she says there are some activist groups that have forced legislation for women. Every Latin American man and woman knows equal opportunity rights exist, though they're practically never fully enforced. And then she said, having a discussion like this with a man has little meaning because you really have to be a woman to know just how important physical appearances are here in Colombia. And by the way, the title of this article, which is in Spanish, is Colombia, a country caught between the obsession for beauty and the obsession for macho violence. So there you have it, proof that some beauty queens have brains too. That said, I'd like to remind you that I'm having another Expat Wisdom Seminar, this time in July. So if you want in on the early bird list and special discounts, send an email to theexpatfiles@gmail.com or johnny@expatwisdom.com.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture in old